Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. I want to make a few comments on the latest tactic the statist, those who speak much about the many but who believe absolute power ought to be vested in a central government run by the few, a political elite, the tactic they're pursuing to gain complete control over the education, in truth, the minds, the morals, the bodies, and the souls of all the children of this nation, including homeschoolers and those children in Christian schools. The name of the latest instrument to accomplish this goal, or to take another giant step toward it, is called Common Core. Now, many of you may have already been alerted to this grave and present danger. Many of you may not be aware of it. This is an initiative of the Obama administration, and it's really part and parcel of a federal program called Race to the Top. There are several organizations, such as the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which have provided on their websites extensive information on Common Core. The simple reality is that the federal government and the educational establishment powers that be are working hard to put together a database which will include the names, educational data, all sorts of personal information on every last child in this nation. And they are working hard by this program also to standardize the education every last child will get. In other words, this is about controlling the minds of the nation's children and force-feeding every child the propagandized educational curriculum and program which best suits the moral anarchists and the humanists and the apostates and the collectivists and the statists. And yes, it'll only be a matter of time before homeschoolers and Christian schoolers will be dragged, even forced, into this Common Core federal educational scheme if it's not stopped. In fact, it is a confirmed fact that data on homeschooled students in the New York City School District has already been included in the New York State database. There are a number of states that have already signed up for this program. But again, you can read all the details on Common Core and its dangers, as well as what to do about it, for instance, at the HSLDA website. The bottom line is that Common Core is ultimately meant to eliminate parents from having anything whatsoever to say about the education of their own children, the bringing up of their children, the nurturing of the children, the development of their morals, the development of their intellect, the development of their minds. Now, by law, the federal government is barred from setting the curriculum of any government school in this nation. That is, by law, the prerogative of the states and the local government with regard to the public school system, and then the prerogative of the parents with regard to Christian schools and home education. But as usual, money talks, money's debate. The feds are offering huge cash grants to states which adopt Common Core standards and curriculum, which is said by those who should know, those who are the champions of educational freedom, who make this their cause, who spend their time on this. It's said to be designed to teach students how to think like the elitist so-called progressives. I'm saying those who have studied this say this is ultimately what it's all about. It's clear from the curriculum. You know, it was Adolf Hitler who said, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control the state." That's what this is all about. Now, it bears mentioning here that the National Catholic Educational Association, the NCEA, is promoting Common Core. We read on their website, the NCEA is the largest private professional education organization in the world, representing 200,000 Catholic educators servicing 7.6 million students. Now, Roman Catholic schools all across America are already involved with the federal government in Common Core, and they are implementing that program. So here again, we see that popery is no friend of liberty. Not civil liberty, not religious liberty, and most certainly not soul liberty. Of course, the Roman Church is very much in favor of socialist, centralized government and always has been. What works for the Vatican is civil power in the hands of the few, which are then controlled by the Vatican, with the Pope the ultimate, final, and all-powerful ruler of both church and state. Now, it also bears mentioning that a big Roman Catholic player in the implementation of Common Core is the Jesuit Loyola University, which must be close to the current Jesuit Pope's heart, I would think. 2 weeks ago, I did a commentary prompted by a 30-second television propaganda piece, which features the comments of one Melissa Harris Perry. Now, I gave her bio during that program, but just let me hit some of the high points here. It says, Professor Harris Perry has taught students from grade school to graduate school and has been recognized for her commitment to the classroom as a site of democratic deliberation on race. She travels extensively, speaking to colleges, organizations, and businesses in the United States and abroad. And jumping through this, we're told that she's currently a professor of political science at Tulane University, where she is founding director of the Anna Julia Cooper Project on Gender, Race, and Politics in the South. She is a columnist for The Nation magazine, where she writes a monthly column, which is titled Sister Citizen. In addition to hosting her own show on MSNBC, she's an author, she's won many prestigious awards, and so on. I want to listen to that 30-second message that I played a couple of weeks ago. It's part of a campaign called Lean Forward, which is being conducted by the cable television network MSNBC. So here's Melissa Harris Perry again.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I commented much on what Melissa Harris Perry said. This woman, Melissa Harris Perry, is clearly a woman with much influence when it comes to educational issues. And give credit where credit is due. She has unashamedly revealed her heart. And this is the most important thing. She has revealed the statist, tyrannical heart of the government educational system in this country. It is a system which is nothing but part, even a very crucial part, of a drive toward a centralized totalitarian government, utterly hostile and destructive of morality, of religious and civil liberties, certainly hostile to the truth as it is in Jesus, and the preaching of that truth, and the freedom and autonomy of the Church of Jesus Christ, and the free course of the gospel. What you just heard from Melissa Harris Perry in 30 seconds was an honest, bold, concise expression of the philosophy, the purpose, the ideology, the heart of the state educational system. What you heard was the voice of statism, of collectivism, of communism, of fascism, in brief, the voice of all tyranny, which puts man, in truth, a few men who comprise an all-controlling government in the place of God and despises all that is heavenly and holy. As I said last week, Christian parents who still daily turn their children over to the wicked, corrupt, lying, immoral cesspool called the public school system need to ask themselves, why am I helping the likes of Melissa Harris Perry advance wickedness, advance the kingdom of darkness and the agenda of the devil? Why am I sending my precious, my impressionable, my underage children to be daily subjected to gross worldliness, to open sexual immorality, to the undermining and blaspheming of the Word of God, to family denigrating, social engineering, to humanist theories taught as fact, to history revised to advance ungodliness and tyranny, in short, to be subjected to a carefully constructed atmosphere and curriculum of humanist, statist propaganda. Parents need to ask themselves, parents who have their children in the government school system, why am I giving my beloved children into the arms of the likes of Harris Perry? Why am I not rather protecting my children and nurturing my children spiritually, morally, intellectually, no matter the sacrifice on my part. And I pray ministers, and I talked about this 2 weeks ago, I pray ministers will listen to this and ask themselves, why am I treating this matter of the education of the children of my church, the lambs of the Lord's flock, as if it were just a matter of personal opinion instead of a vital duty clearly defined by the Word of God? It is long since time the ministers in the Church of Christ took a solid, unapologetic, unyielding biblical stand and obeyed the Word of God in this matter. That is, it is long past time that all of the children of Christian parents were pulled out of the government school system and properly, rightly, biblically educated by homeschooling or a solid church school or a combination of both, and parents who truly, and I stress truly, need help in the matter, be given help by the church. There are so many creative ways such parents can be helped if the members of the individual churches will pull together in this crucial task. I'm saying, if a particular church where there is someone who needs help, if all the members of that church will pull together, it can be done. It can be done. It's the right thing. God will bless it. God will provide. By the way, Melissa Harris Perry, acting as a voice for the centralized, socialized, political, educational complex, has not backed down one bit. Responding to criticisms of her lean forward spot, Harris Perry declared, "This isn't about me wanting to take your kids. Well, you could have fooled us. And this isn't even about whether your children are property. Again, you could have fooled us." She goes on, though, and says, "This is about whether we as a society expressing our collective will through our public institutions, including our government, now listen to this, have a right to impinge on individual freedoms in order to advance a common good." And that is exactly the fight that we have been having for a couple of hundred years. Now, right there, in those supposedly noble words, you have the siren song of the statist. They seek to shame responsible, liberty-loving, even Christ-loving citizens into, well, in the situation before us, into handing over their own children, betraying their own children, and handing them over into the government school system to be corrupted, to be propagandized, and into betraying, though, unalienable rights and freedoms. Because she said that the whole issue is whether we as a society expressing our collective will through our public institutions, including our government, have the right to impinge on individual freedoms in order to advance a common good. So you see, they seek to shame responsible people, liberty-loving citizens, into betraying unalienable rights and freedoms and even responsibilities. Unalienable or inalienable, the same thing in the Declaration of Independence. The word is unalienable. Unalienable rights, that is, rights given by God. They seek to shame us into betraying those rights, or we'll be tarred as selfish. Now, I have some background in constitutional law, and back before I was a minister in politics. As a minister, I strive very hard to not politicize our church. I won't allow it, and I won't allow politics into our church. You know, don't come around with your voter registration table or wanting to pass out literature in our church, especially on the Lord's Day. We won't have it. We won't have politicians in our church. We won't allow our church to be politicized. We'll keep that line drawn where it should. Now, I encourage our members to do their civil duty, and if some are called to labor in government, praise God for uncompromised Christians in government. But I refuse to be part of prostituting the church to politics or the state, for that matter. And as deeply interested as I am in geopolitics, I still take great pains as a minister of Christ to avoid becoming entangled in politics and to keep the work of the ministry pure. It is the work of the ministry that is of primary importance, and it must be kept free of political matters. But I think in this format of the Heart of the Matter, it's appropriate to put the comment of Harris Perry into a political legal context. I think it's appropriate. I think that is something I can do in this particular format. This woman represents a great many people when she speaks of impinging on individual liberties, freedoms, in order to advance a so-called common good. We're hearing the theme more and more. And not just with regard to the freedom to rightly educate and raise our own children, but the rights these people are speaking about are not theirs to take or ours to give. They are inalienable, God-given rights, and there's nothing noble about giving away such rights which are granted by God and belong to all men. There's nothing noble about it. There's nothing right about the majority saying we're going to take away the rights, the God-given rights of the minority. They can say what they want about how this is some sort of noble and wonderful and unselfish thing. It is not. There's nothing unselfish about stealing or attempting to steal those things given by God from other people. You want to give up your rights? Well, you're giving up other people's rights, too. I'm talking now not about some selfish hanging on of some right that doesn't exist, but I'm talking about those things given by God. And going to the political constitutional aspect of this, the founding political document of our United States of America is the Declaration of Independence. This is the charter of our nation, which declares the legal authority and principles with which all of the laws of our national government and the state governments, beginning with our federal and state constitutions, and then all of our civil laws and institutions, are to be in compliance with. The Declaration sets forth as the supreme law of our land, that is, with regard to civil government, acting within its rightful, strictly limited sphere of authority. It sets forth what the founders called the laws of nature and of nature's God, or as they explained it, God's dictated law in the creation and revealed law. It sets forth these laws as the foundation of all other laws of our nation, all institutions of our nation must be in compliance with these laws, and as the founders insisted, no other laws have any validity if contrary to these two. These two. The laws of nature, which they defined as God's dictated law, and the laws of nature's God, which they defined as revealed law. Now, I know some people don't like that phrase, but it's purposely a political phrase that they used to reference the legal foundation of our nation. Now, clearly, very clearly, the civil government has no right to take children and educate them, and certainly no right to tell parents how to educate their own children. The Word of God makes that very, very clear. The Word of God establishes that parents have the unalienable right and duty to educate their children, and certainly in the way which pleases God. Government has no right to interfere or intrude upon that unalienable right of parents. So they have, I say, no right to interfere or intrude. I only bring up the political side of this, the constitutional side of this, because these people, like the woman I've been quoting, seem to forget that there is this legal, constitutional, political foundation that they can't, or they're not supposed to, just ignore. And if they ignore it, they are lawless. They are the lawbreakers. Now, I say government has no right to intrude on God-given parental rights. And this is set forth in the Word of God. And that's all that counts. All other, you know, political documents aside, whether we have a Declaration of Independence that says what it says or not, the Word of God is what matters to us. But we are blessed as a people to know our Declaration of Independence does recognize and uphold that same law of God. And it also declares, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator. Their Creator, as much as Barack Obama wants to forget this, and Bill Clinton the other day quoted this at a sodomite event and left Creator out, but are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the right and duty of parents to educate their children, not the government, also pertains to this, the pursuit of happiness, including the spiritual and temporal well-being of children and their families. But by now, you have no doubt heard of the Florida school civics class in which students were instructed to write, "I am willing to give up some of my constitutional rights in order to be safer or more secure." Now, again, doesn't that sound so very selfless, so giving, so right? In truth, the rights in question are unalienable rights given by God, and it is intrinsically selfish and wicked to give up the unalienable rights of others in order to be, quote, safer or more secure. And it is oxymoronic to give up what God has given in hopes of being safer. There is no safety in putting man and the state in place of God and trusting in a cabal of God-denying totalitarians. But this is the brainwashing going on in the government school system where evil is good and good is evil, and where fools claiming to be wise daily labor to train children and young people to be God-denying, sexually immoral, socialist, arrogant, unstable, self-centered narcissists. And where is the safety in that? It's been going on for decades, and the empirical evidence makes it clear as can be that our nation is getting less safe, not more safe. Now, Melissa Harris Perry, acting as a mouthpiece for the statist, insists that the children of this nation belong to the collective, with the centralized statist elites acting in the best interests of, we might say, the Volk, to use a Nazi term. And she insists this is about whether, and I'm quoting, we as a society expressing our collective will through our public institutions, including our government, have the right to impinge on individual freedoms in order to advance a common good. Collective ownership, state ownership of the children of this nation is a bit more than impinging on individual freedoms. And even if it were no more than that, it would be too much. The impinging on parental rights began a long, long time ago. We are way past that stage. It has led to this full-scale assault, this concerted, ongoing effort to relegate unalienable parental rights and responsibilities to the trash bin of history and make the family nothing but an economic unit of a centralized totalitarian state. As for the common good Harris Perry speaks about, she also upholds the murder of the unborn as necessary for what? The common good. So you see, she believes in impinging on the right of the unborn to live, but it's for the common good. Hitler used the same language to justify his eugenic T4 program in the early days of his regime to murder the handicapped, to murder others that had various mental problems and so forth, and then to justify concentration camps for his political opponents, and finally to justify the annihilation of the Jews and all whom he saw as posing a threat to his rule. Now, 2 weeks ago, I quoted from the Communist Manifesto with regard to this insistence of the Reds that the state has the responsibility, really the sole authority, all authority, to educate the children of a nation. In other messages and programs over the past 18 years, I have quoted from various communist dictators concerning the same non-negotiable tenet of communism. In essence, that the children belong to the state. Now, earlier I quoted Hitler, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control the state." 2 weeks ago, I quoted Hitler, November 6, 1939, "When an opponent says, 'I will not come over to your side,' I calmly say, 'Your child belongs to us already.'" You see, he already, for a number of years, him and his Nazis had controlled the German school system. They had already controlled it. And so he says, "Your child belongs to us already. You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing but this new community," because he and his Nazis had controlled totally controlled the German school system for quite some time, and everyone, all German parents, had to put their children into it. Homeschooling was not allowed. And by the way, those laws are still on the books in Germany, and they are being used to severely persecute homeschoolers. Now, in the 1934 Nazi propaganda film Triumph of the Will, Adolf Hitler says, speaking of the children the Reich will bring up and the time preceding his rise to power, he says this: they will not even understand the language of that alien age before Nazism took control. The youth have been consigned to us and have become ours, body and soul. They live in this proud Germany of the swastika and will never again let it be ripped from their heart. Let me give you another quote, Adolf Hitler, May 1st, 1937. This new Reich will give its youth to no one, but will itself take youth and give to youth its own education and its own upbringing. Now, I have studied somewhat how the Nazis from the start immediately insisted that the children of the people of the Volk belong to the government school system, where they would be thoroughly trained by and for the good and service of the National Socialist State. Now, in 1933, Hitler's Interior Minister Wilhelm Frick said this: the primary obligation of the school is to raise youth for service to the Volk and state in the spirit of National Socialism. And by the way, when they talk about the Volk or the people, they also said the people. Hitler is the people. Everything that pertains to the people is vested in Hitler. What's good for Hitler is good for the people. What Hitler says is good for the people is good for the people. He is the guardian of the people's good. Now, the Nazis early on conducted a Nazification of all German society, and fundamental, primary to that, was the government school system. Now, I might digress here and mention that my own father met some of the products of the German educational system under the Nazis. You see, he flew 11 daylight combat missions before being shot down over occupied, or as it was called, Fortress Europe, as an 8th Air Force Army Air Corps tail gunner in a B-17. And this was during a killing time for the bomber crews, when there were no long-range fighter escorts, and a bomber crewman had well less than one chance in three of completing his combat tour without being killed or a POW. Now, that's not even mentioning wounded. Now, our American 8th Air Force bombed in broad daylight, concentrating on military targets rather than civilian, and for maximum effect. My father then spent 15 months in three POW camps. He endured two forced marches, including what is known as the Blizzard March, and two different nightmare journeys crammed in a train boxcar with other POWs. Now, without going into details, my father witnessed SS troopers in action, many of them young men raised up in the German educational system. He saw them in action. He also saw fanatical Hitler youth. He saw the full fruition of the anti-God, anti-scripture, anti-Christian, anti-family status ideology, which is also the foundation and heart of the government school system of this country. Now, you might be interested in knowing that early on, the Nazis made great use of the teachers' union, which they Nazified. By 1937, 97% of all German teachers belonged to the National Socialist Teachers Union. Their motto was one Volk, one school, one teachers' union. 1937. And what did Hitler say? What did Hitler say in 1939 when an opponent says, "I will not come over to your side"? "I calmly say your child belongs to us already. You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing but this new community." Now, in closing, I cannot help again mentioning that Christian parents who put their children into the government school system have to understand they are voting for and strengthening and feeding the beast that is seeking to devour their children intellectually, morally, and spiritually, and seeking as well to devour civil and religious liberties, the civil and religious liberties of Christ's body, the church. From the standpoint of religious liberty and, of course, civil liberty, it is madness to voluntarily give our children over to be influenced and educated by these totalitarian-minded enemies of both civil and religious liberty. You will never find enemies of civil liberty which are not enemies of religious liberty. You will never find those who are enemies of religious liberty that aren't enemies of civil liberty. That's the way it works. Now, I have many times in the past used a great many scripture verses to show why it is against the Word of God for Christians to voluntarily place their children under the authority and influence and in the nurture and care of the government school system. To place impressionable children in the spiritual and moral cesspool known as the public school system. There is no justification for willfully doing so. I'm not trying to be mean and ugly here. I'm a very concerned minister. I'm concerned for these children. I'm concerned for the church. I'm concerned for religious liberty and the free course of the gospel. When will ministers start presenting this matter, the education of children, rightly, the education of the children of their flock? When will they stop presenting it as a mere matter of opinion? The Word of God is the authority and the standard we are to live by, and the Scriptures could not be more clear on this issue of the nurturing, the training, the education of children, not to mention the responsibility of parents and pastors to guard the minds and morals of those same children. When will ministers and churches make this a higher priority, including coming up with creative ways to help those parents, including single parents, who are what we might call truly hardship cases? At what point will Christian parents, with their children in the government school system, come to realize that first, they are in clear violation of the Word of God in that? I would think in this day and age when homeschooling and Christian schooling has been so high profile and talked about and talked over for so many decades now, there can't be anyone in the dark on this, can there? But if there are, we pray that they'll come to the light. And those of you listening who know the truth need to talk to your brethren. And then secondly, when will Christian parents with their children in the government school system come to realize they are not loving, protecting, and nurturing their children spiritually and intellectually, and finally, that they are helping to advance tyranny while betraying those who, under God, labored, sacrificed, in some cases fought, suffered, bled, and died to preserve our unalienable liberties? Now, we know that the homosexuals, the humanists, the fascists, the socialists, the communists, all atheists in general, the modernists, the pro-aborts, Planned Parenthood, the pornographers, we could go on, but let's stop there and sum up. The devil himself wants the children of Christian parents in the state school system. But I challenge any Christian parent to refute that reality. The reality that the devil wants their children in the state school system. Where do you think the devil wants your children? Homeschooled? In a good Christian school? Or in the government school system? Where do you think he wants your children? Now, it's past time those who hold to a biblical standard with regard to the education of the children of Christian families began to speak boldly to their brethren who are in error on this. Let's have a concern for one another. Let's love one another. Let's help one another. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's time. There was a whole lot more peer pressure where necessary on this, and a very clear voice from the pulpits of the Lord's church. I know that I offend some brethren when I speak so plainly, but this is one of those issues which calls for the plainness of speech. When I think of the millions of children that are put into that government school system every day, I tell you, my heart breaks. And I've already talked in depth about the clear and present danger it poses to them, to Christian liberty, to the freedom of the gospel, to civil and religious liberties. And I know that I offend people by speaking so plainly, but I do have the comfort of knowing that some of the people I've offended in the past were then convicted to take their children out of the government school system and give them a right education, a right and a godly education. I know I offend some some people when I speak so plainly, but let me add this. James 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, it wasn't my purpose today to present the biblical case, a systematic biblical teaching for Christians removing their children from the government school system. As I said, I've done that many times in the past, and there, of course, were some very important other points I wanted to cover today. But in closing, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to leave you with a few of many, many scriptures which over the years I've expounded and applied with regard to the education of the children of Christian parents, and other ministers have too. Now, due to time, I'm only going to quote just a few of the many without comment, but the application ought to be obvious when it comes to the education of children in the state school system. Those of you listening who have your children in the government schools, please think about these verses. Please pray about this. Matthew 18, the verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Certainly the Lord speaks there of new Christians, of immature Christians, and certainly of those that are in Christian families, of young children who believe on Christ, and yet they're misled. They're led into sin. They're offended. Stumbling blocks are put in their path. And the Lord went on to say, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. God forbid that it would come by parents, when it's children we're speaking of. But going on, 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Ephesians 6, the verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Proverbs 22, the verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 14, 1 and Psalm 53, 1 both say the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 16, 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Proverbs 14, the verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 26, the verse 6, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. 1 Samuel 2, the verse 30 includes this, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. 2 Corinthians 19, the verse 2 includes this, shouldest thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate the Lord, therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, the verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Colossians 3, the verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Corinthians 10, the verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Brethren, think on these things.